Talking baseball, the Giants by the Bay.
KNBR presents. Talking baseball with Marty Lurie.
It's an inside the park home run.
Here's your Giants pregame host, Marty Lurie, on the Sports Leader.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday Talking Baseball. As the great Ernie Banks said, let's play two. The Giants and Padres are going to play a doubleheader today. As the word came out about midnight last night, that the test that had looked like a positive test on Friday night was perhaps false positive, and the Giants had a couple of negative tests after that, and MLB and the Giants and everyone else got together and decided that it's safe enough to play a doubleheader today of the Giants and the San Diego Padres. So should be an interesting day of baseball. Very important games for the Giants. Very important games for the San Diego Padres as they're closing the gap on the Dodgers. They're only three behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers have lost four of six. The Padres have won five straight. The Giants have won 8 of 11, 15 of 21. They're now the seventh seed in the playoffs if they started today as a wild card. They've jumped over the Marlins. There's all sorts of baseball going on today. The Marlins and the Phillies have another doubleheader. But the Giants are going to play two today against the San Diego Padres. So really, they're only losing one game out of this four-game series, which is very important. So it's going to be an interesting day of baseball, and I'm glad that everyone is safe and healthy and hopefully listening around the Bay Area. You're doing the same with social distancing and masks and doing the things and using the tools that we have to be safe. But there will be baseball today. We've got a long day of baseball. And coming in to do the bulk innings today, and that's what we'll call them today. I'm just the opener. And that is Bill Lasky. Bill, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty, and good morning, San Francisco fans out there. Is this an early morning? But it's a good morning because I think I'm going to go right on your piggyback there, Marty. They have to play these games, and to play two games today after the false positive, I think it's a real good sign. Again, the Giants are very strict in how they do their testing and how they magnified this so quickly and got everybody out of the ballpark, got them in their hotel, and just laid low yesterday and watched MLB do their magic. And as you said, it came down extremely late last night, and the tests were all negative, which is good. They did a couple tests, and now we're ready for some baseball, and I'm agreeing with you. These two games are important for both sides. I watched that Houston Astro Dodger game yesterday and watched Kenley Jansen just fall apart. And I was like, wow, this is a big blow to the L.A. Dodgers if this continues, because that's their man. That's their closer. And he looked terrible last night.
Well, he's had a tough season. You know that the cutter, and you know that the cutter is a big pitch. It's just not cutting the way it used to. And he gave up hit after hit after hit. And the Astros came back from three down and ended up winning the game last night. A huge game for them. And they've got Greinke going today. And it's a bullpen game for the Dodgers. But let's talk a little pitching, Bill, about what could happen today. And look, I guess it's Cueto and Garrett Richards in the first game. But is that official? And with these managers and with these organizations, you don't know what they're going to do. But I guess it's Cueto and Garrett Richards.
You know, Marty, I was looking on Twitter this morning off a San Diego Padre reporter, and he was talking about Clevinger pitching the first game because they want to try to sweep the Giants today, especially what the Dodgers are doing. And they're three games out. They're looking at them for this after this doubleheader. They have them three straight games. That's their final three against the Dodgers. So I think they're going after these two doubleheaders today and put more pressure on the Dodgers. But in the same time, the Giants would probably throw Cueto. I would assume that's their number one, and back it up with Gausman, which is a pretty good 1-2 punch in this doubleheader for the Giants.
Well, let's talk a little Cueto, really, because he just passed, what, that 300th game and 300th start in a major league career. 34 years old. He's 2-0 with a .456 earned run average. The whip is 1.27. Bill, how do you assess Cueto this year? Now, I know Trump's going to catch him, and that's important, you know, so they stay on the same page. But, you know, he's an ace, but is he an ace?
I believe so. I think those numbers were inflated. We always talk about the reliever coming into a couple games and giving up three or four runs, and it takes them almost 2 months to get it down, especially in a 60-game schedule. And I look at that with Johnny Cueto, the six earned runs against the Dodgers back at Oracle. I thought that was a game. I didn't think he pitched that bad, but he got a couple balls up. I think the numbers are inflated a little bit. I think Johnny has pitched a lot better. And you always talk about a number one facing the opposing number ones, and that's what he's been doing. So sometimes, you know, it works both ways, but I think Johnny has been consistent most of the year this year, and that's what we're expecting out of the first game. When you look at a doubleheader, the first game does mean a lot because it gives you the pressure of either sweeping them, or if you win the first one, I should say, you win the first one, you have a possibility of sweeping them. But if you lose the first one, then the pressure comes in because you definitely want to split a doubleheader. Well, you know, Johnny, I think, is done well. I'm not totally against him being a number one. I believe he is, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Giants have kept him and really have worked with him over the last couple of years with the Tommy John surgery. Velocity still low 90s, but his main thing, Marty, and you and I both know, is his off speed and how he translates that during a game, in a game, and that's why I think Chadwick Trump is a perfect catcher for him. They don't shake off much, and I think he uses all different varieties of pitches at different times.
Well, Cueto, to me, has been a very pleasant surprise because, let's face it, he had a couple of starts in September last year. We didn't know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you have the big delay. You have spring training 2.0. We still didn't know what was going to happen. But I think what you look for, and I want to ask you a question about doubleheaders and how you pitched them, but you look for consistency in a major league player. That's the thing. And I think for Johnny, you're going to get a consistent game. You're going to get those five or six innings. You're going to have a rough spot here and there. He's going to put some people on. You get to that fifth or sixth inning with him, and you can just see the arm dragging a little bit as he gets a little more tired late in the game. I really think the Giants have to watch that carefully. But that's what I see with Cueto, Bill, and I'll just say this. I think he's been a very, very pleasant surprise because we didn't know what he was going to do this year.
Exactly. And anytime you come back with Tommy John, you always hear, oh, he's throwing harder and he, you know, his velocity's up. But you don't hear the other side of it. You don't hear the guys that don't come back from Tommy John. You don't hear the ones that have to have a double Tommy John because they come back too soon. And I think that's one thing that Johnny did. You know, he wanted to come back sooner, and they kept pushing him back. And his training was just phenomenal, you know, looking at him on Instagram and following him there. He's a beast when it comes between starts. You see him running up the steps. Mm-hmm. You see him doing all kind of things to stay in shape. And I really believe he's gotten in better shape with the time lapse he had during that Tommy John and now. And he's pushed himself. There's no doubt about it. He's got another year in his contract with an option. The Giants will keep him, no doubt, unless they trade him over the winter. But I think the dollar signs are relatively going to say we need to keep him because there isn't too many teams right now that can pick up a $20 to $25 million contract.
You know, the Padres jumped all over Cahill way back when. It seems like I can't remember the game. Thursday night, they were on him early, and he was out. And, of course, Smiley came in. This is a team that has 80 home runs already, mm-hmm. and they have really, I think, really been the talk of baseball. Maybe you could throw Toronto in there and Tampa Bay and what they're doing and starting 11 left-handed hitters the other day, and they're leading that American League East. But 80 home runs for the Padres. They jumped on Cahill early, and I'm going to point out a stat, and I know you love the stats. when you put that first pitch in play against Johnny, players are 1-for-16. Wow. So this is a team, the Padres, it's going to be interesting to see how he works them because they want to jump on you early, and they can't wait to swing the bat. Machado, I'm sure, Bill, you've looked it up, 4-for-11 with a couple of homers. Tatis, 0-for-2. Myers, 3-for-23 with a homer. I'll guarantee you he's going to see a lot of changeups today. Mm-hmm. But for Johnny, I think it's huge for him to get ahead in this at bat and dominate that 0-0 pitch, that first pitch.
Marty, you're reading my mind. I was looking up batter versus pitcher as you were talking.
Well, I know you love this. You know, seriously, look, that's what makes you special is that, you know, you dive into those numbers and you come up with a good analysis of it. So go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the things is, you know, analytics has always been information highway to me, but those stats mean a lot to me because I've been doing it for, you know, 25 years. I've always been doing it. Even when I pitched, I like to look at numbers because it's really the paper. It's what's on the paper, what these players have done, what they've, you know, competed against each other, and it does stand out to me. Sure, you know, each day, each game's different. But at the same time, Johnny Cueto does do that. He loves to throw the first pitch strikes. And I was kind of looking back at a couple of his games against Arizona, his last couple, and he was 0-1 a lot. And if you look at Trevor Cahill, when he's 0-1, he does so much different things as a pitcher. It does magnify your other pitches as long as you go 0-1. But on the other side, if the team knows that, they're going to ambush him first pitch. So I'm right there with you to see how he's going to maneuver. And in a 7-inning doubleheader, and we got to continue to keep saying that because fans, you got to remember, these are 7 innings. They're not 9 innings. So 7 innings, it's like starting a game in the 3rd inning. Mm-hmm. And everything magnifies in those first 2 innings because that's where the teams really want to ambush you. They really want to get out ahead of you to make that 21 out in a game into 15. Then it goes to 12, and then you count down from there. So it's very important that the first inning for both these starters put zeros on the board because if you can open up with the Giants on a visiting end to open up and get a couple runs the first inning, it really does relax that starting pitcher. And we know Johnny Cueto, when he's relaxed, you can see when he's relaxed. He throws better.
Yep.
He does more movements. He does take his time. He does quick pitch. But when he starts getting the ball up and he elevates, you can see the little stress and a little pressure because he tries to pinpoint them. So I really believe it's really important the Giants try to maneuver something in that first inning. You know, the last start here, you know, when they came in here Thursday, they looked stale to me. They just didn't have any pop in their bats. They just looked tired. And they had a great homestand. But coming in at 2-3 in the morning, it does change things. So they had a good day off yesterday, and I think they're going to be geared up for a doubleheader today, and they need to win one, if not two.
Now, great point on the 7-inning doubleheader. I'm glad you brought that up. For me, growing up, I used to go to the International League games at Miami Marlins and Miami Stadium. And I think, I could be wrong, did they play 2 7-inning doubleheaders? Maybe they played the first 9, then they went 7.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. The first game was always 9, the second one was 7. Always.
Yeah,
when I was in the minor leagues, that's what we did.
Yeah, so it is a big deal. So strategy-wise, you know, the Giants may have to play some small ball to get a run or two to get going. Now, I don't know who's going to pitch for the Padres. And, again, the Padres sort of – the whole National League West is into gamesmanship these days.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is Garrett Richards, I will say this, and, Bill, just looking at the numbers as you were talking, first time through the order, 307 with 4 or 6 home runs. Well, for Garrett Richards. Now, he's a Tommy John guy coming back. He was terrific in 14 and 15 with the Angels, but he's a good pitcher, but he's not what he used to be, so maybe he's a guy you can get to early if he's the pitcher. Who knows if he's going to be the pitcher.
Yeah, nothing's been out yet. You know, Johnny threw against the San Diego Padres in July 29th. It was at Oracle. He went 3 2/3, 4 hits, 4 and run, 1 home run. So they have faced him one time this year, and it was right after that great outing he had to start off the season against the Dodgers. So these are things that I like to look at. If they pitched against each other during that season and one time, that's way far back. I mean, a lot of things happen between lineups, and we know how much the Padres have made changes to their lineup as well as their pitching staff. But looking at, you know, Saturday with the day off, it really makes an advantage to the bullpen of the Padres. race because mm-hmm. they had six, seven guys throw it on Thursday. So that makes them revitalized as well as the Giants because the Giants only use Peralta and Smiley, but I don't see Smiley even being affected in this doubleheader. I think he could be one of the starters in Seattle on that Tuesday-Wednesday bump.
You like the Padre bullpen? I know you said it yesterday, the flamethrowers. I'm not in love with the Padre bullpen. This is not the old Padre bullpen for me. I think they still have to prove it. I'm not even sure. Pomerantz, is he available? Is he back off the injured list?
Yeah, he is. And then, you know, with Rosenthal, you know, Rosenthal was throwing 101 miles an hour the other night, and that just revitalized his arm. And, of course, he had eight saves with the Royals when they picked him up. That's a guy that's got the most experience down there right now. All the other ones are really young, and you know, you got Pierce Johnson, who used to be with the Giants. He signed a pretty good deal after he went overseas to pitch, and he looked totally different than when we had him here with the Giants. He had a better breaking ball, and he hit the corners better. A lot of young arms down there, and you and I both know young arms can throw the ball down the middle of the plate when they're not thinking about it, and that's the inexperience of a bullpen. And then you look on the Giants' side, the bullpen there is fresh. They got every arm that's possible. So you got Coonrod possible. You got the Submariner, Rogers. Yeah. He's in there. And then you got Watson, and those are really – the final three that I look at in a seven-inning game, those three I think are going to get the majority of the work in these doubleheaders.
Well, you want to get in the playoffs. The Giants have a good shot, and the teams that are chasing them or fighting with them, they had a rough day yesterday. Giants actually picked up some ground. Did you happen to see the Milwaukee game, the Cub game, the end of that game with Josh Hader on the hill?
No, I didn't. I was watching that Dodger-Houston game. I just for some reason, you know, the Astros just I'm keeping an eye on them because they're a team that have struggled all year, of course. A lot of different pressures on and off the field with that club, but I'm just waiting for them to take off because that offense is so good. And last night, when Jensen came in, I thought it was over, and my mouth was wide open when they scored five runs. I was like, wow, that's a shot in the arm for the Dodgers.
Well, the Brewers are a team, you know, they have great Septembers. Now, Yelich last year wasn't even playing September, and he's really struggled. But Hader had a 2-0 lead, and now the Brewers are a team that I worry about because I think mm-hmm. the Brewers, you know, have some pitching and they have some good hitting and they can handle their division. So here's Hader in the ninth inning, and he's facing the Cubs. He's got a 2-0 lead, and there's a couple of hits and Rizzo left-handed hit. They put Billy Hamilton into run form as the tying run. Well, they didn't need Hamilton's legs because on the next pitch, Jason Hayward. Three-run shot.
Wow.
His first home
off
run
Hader.
Off the left. Hader gave up a three-run shot to Hayward, then another home run. And the Cubs ended up winning the game, knocking the Brewers back. And for the Brewers, it was a big loss. They're now 20-23. And I say this, and I'm glad to talk on Sunday morning. We always like to sort of summarize. That loss column is critical. The Giants have 22 losses. And if you look at the Marlins doubleheader today with the Phillies, 21. Colorado 24. They've got a team playing the Angels. The Angels are playing better now. And then the Brewers at 23, Bill. It was a huge loss for the Brewers last night. Hader gave it up in the ninth inning.
Was that the first runs he gave up? Because he had zeros across the board.
Well, I think it may have been. I'm not sure if it was, but he had that one game. Remember, he walked five in a row?
That's right.
In the ninth inning, and he had that. But I'm telling you, this was a big loss for the Brewers, and it was good for the Giants last night. So why this is important today, there are two more games. It's against a tough team, Giants with 22 losses, and that's the key for me, is keeping under that 30 mark. And the more the Phillies lose or the Marlins and all in the Mets, the better it is for the Giants. So the Brewers lost a tough one last night.
Yeah, Marty, they just announced Clevinger is going to pitch the first game. So
he's okay. Well, I haven't worked him up at all, have you?
Yeah, I did. 2-2 with a 3.7 earned run average. Pitched twice so far with the Padres. His first game against the Angels, he threw pretty good. Six innings, seven hits, two earned runs. That was a game they lost 2-0. I don't know who, what Angel pitcher really stuffed them. And then the Colorado game, they won 14-5. That was his first win. He went 5 innings. 5 hits, 4 earned runs against Colorado, but their offense exploded in that game for the Padres. So he's 1-1, one and one with the Padres. You know, I was looking at some of his numbers the other day. 5 years with Cleveland, they didn't really pop at me. It was, he was 43-23 with Cleveland with a 3.2 earned run average, 534 innings pitched, 434 hits, which is pretty good. 58 home runs total. 594 strikeouts, just pretty good numbers when you start looking at, you know, how many starts he had. He had 90 games started, 1 complete game, 1 shutout. That kind of surprised me. I thought he was more of a guy that would go length, but he really hasn't. And we're looking at now how the Padres are doing. He's thrown 87 pitches and 84 pitches, so he's probably relatively right in that same mix. The lineups just came out, Marty. If you have them, I can read them here real quick.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm looking at Alex Pavlovich on the Giants lineup. Go ahead. I'm just
Mike Yastrzemski, Dickerson, Solano, Belt, Longoria. Smoke is now the DH in the 6th spot, so he's getting his first start. And then Crawford, Dubon, and Trump. So really the only thing from Friday night's game, Flores is not playing, and Justin Smoke is in there on the DH end. And then on the other side, the Padres are throwing pretty much their normal lineup. Grissom is in center field, Tatis Jr. shortstop, Machado third, Moreland first, Nola is in the 5th spot catching, Myers is 6th, playing right field, Cronenworth, who's looking like he's going to be Rookie of the Year at 2nd. Greg Garcia, a left-hander, is in, and then Profar in left field. So the lineups are in. They have not posted the starting pitcher for the Giants yet, so that's still TBD, Marty, the old to be announced.
So Justin Smoke, all right, now he's an American leaguer. Mm-hmm. Now, he must have seen Clevinger. But do you have anything on Smoke versus Clevinger? I don't know if you have that.
No, I don't have that yet. I mean, he had some great numbers in Toronto, you know, looking at some of the things that he did there. And, of course, he was a DH there 70 times, 1,100 times he was at first base. 33 years old, has had a couple good years. This year, Milwaukee, 186. He only under 200 with 5 home runs. But when you look in Toronto in 2019, he had 19 home runs. So there's no doubt he's got the power. They sent him to Sacramento. I was reading he had like 6 or 8 at bats just to get his feet on the ground and most likely get tested several times there before he joined the Giants. And there's no doubt he has been taking a lot of video and film with the hitting coaches they have and trying to maybe correct a couple of things they saw in Milwaukee. But again, we're going to see if he can attack it here, because when you look at this lineup, that's a perfect synopsis of putting him in there in a 6-hole right after Longoria, because now you've got, you know, lefty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, lefty. So, you know, I like the combinations. That's what I'm kind of looking at now, because the bullpen arms have to come in to face 3 hitters. So I kind of look at how the teams adjust the righties and lefties, and you very seldom see too many of them with, like what we saw the other day with 9 lefties in a row. They kind of mix them up, and of course, Smoke is a switch hitter, so that helps him there too.
Bill, one last thought for you before we take a break here. What about Clevinger's splits, the righty-lefty splits? Does anything stand out to you home run-wise or on-base percentage for Clevinger?
You know, I look at him and, you know, primarily when you start looking at, you know, I look at Brooks Baseball, who really breaks down a lot of their his pitching synopsis and what he goes to a lot. He's mostly a fastball pitcher. He throws a lot of just dead red heat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you start looking at it, 4-seam fastball, 95 to 97. He's got a little cutter, but primarily 90, 95. He's coming at you about 43%, and then the slider. Those are his 2 breakout pitches, a 4-seam fastball and a slider. And the slider is 84 miles an hour, so he does break it down when you look at speed from 95 to 97 to 84 with some movement. A little curveball, a little changeup, but really nothing there. it's primarily, he's going to come right at you with arms and legs and hair. You know, we always look at how long his hair is. I don't understand how these guys throw like that, but it's a different world.
Well, I'll tell you, the other part of Clevenger, and well, you know, we could go on forever about this, but, you know, he was run out of Cleveland. They didn't want him. You know, he broke curfew and along with Plesac, and Plesac's back, and he's a very good pitcher. He's back pitching for Cleveland. But Clevenger, they said, hey, we're going to trade him. And they did trade him. There was no question about it. And the team was not happy with him. So he's got something to prove to the Padres and the Padre clubhouse and all that. So there's a little bit of a little challenge for this guy.
I believe so, too. And, you know, he's saying, oh, I love it here. I love it here. Well, you know, throwing a six-inning and a five-inning game is not dominant so far in my eyes.
And I saw the Angel game. He didn't look like, you know, it didn't look like the next Juan Marichal, I'll tell you that.
And the velocity, you know, when you're thinking of a guy that throws mostly fastballs, 95 is average. It's nothing in our eyes. Now, back in my era, that was throwing gas. Now, that's an average fastball with not a lot of movement. He's got a little cutter. But when you break down both of his pitches, like I just said, four-seam fastball slider. So if I'm hitting, I'm looking at two pitches because the other pitches are maybe one out of 15 he's going to throw. So we'll see what the Giants do. I mean, they're throwing a lot of lefties in there, and I think that's a good mark on the Giants to try to figure this out. But I sure would like to know who the Giants are throwing. they haven't thrown it out there yet, Marty.
wait long enough, and then they'll tell you. All right, we'll take a break. Boy, good discussion and getting you ready for two games. There are two games like this, and Bill will be back with you. Bill, you'll be back between games.
Marty, I'll be taking it on. I'll be thinking about you sitting there watching the games and enjoying life, and that's what you need to do today.
As Ed Montague said, having the lemonade in the backyard, listening to Bill Lasky.
Right.
But, you're the bulk innings guy today, and I'm glad to be on with you at least in the beginning of the show here. All right, we're going to take a break. Bill, this day in baseball history, and I did this for you, really, because Frank Robinson was your manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very special day, September 13th of 1971. Frank Robinson hits his 500th home run. Mm. And I did this show, God, years ago, probably over 20 years ago, but it still is so timely. But it's Frank's own voice, and it's Frank's version of hitting that 500th home run. So I know you're going to appreciate hearing Frank and how he approached baseball. So this one's for you, but we'll take a break and come back with this day in baseball history. Then Bill and I can comment on it. Kerry Crowley's coming up next for Bill to chat with as well. So we've got a good show for you today. A lot of things happening. A doubleheader. Ernie Banks says, let's play two. And they are going to play two. So more coming up right here. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader. Fans, you know, if you're in North Beach, it is outdoor dining at Original Joe's, and it is absolutely terrific. All the great specials are there. However, news in Westlake, big deal this Wednesday, El Fresco in Westlake. John Dugan just sent me a beautiful picture of what's going on at Original Joe's in Westlake. 90-foot outdoor patio being constructed this weekend, opening on Wednesday for outdoor dining. Wow. So if you're at Original Joe's at Westlake, absolutely stop by. This is going to be terrific as we now have outdoor dining, Original Joe's in Westlake. And, of course, we've got it in North Beach as well. So enjoy it. John Dugan, the most unique restaurateur in the Bay Area.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Hey fans, this is Marty Lurie with This Day in Baseball History. On September 13th, 1971, Hall of Famer Frank Robinson joined the 500 Home Run Club when he connected in the second game of a doubleheader in Detroit. The historic homer came off Tiger lefty Fred Sherman, a three-run ninth-inning shot. After hitting number 499 in game one of the doubleheader, Frank Robinson knew number 500 was coming up very soon.
I was very fortunate to hit two home runs, one in each game. The first one, 499, was disputed by the opposing team, Detroit Tigers. They say it didn't hit the foul pole. It was a foul ball, but the umpires called it a fair ball. And then I ordered the champagne in between doubleheaders, said, I'm going to get this over with. I don't want to go through this, drawing it out. And I was lucky to be able to hit in the ninth inning of that ball game, because in the seventh inning when I flew out to center field, most of the people that was remaining left. But Boog Powell got a big two-out base hit in the ninth inning and brought me to the plate. And I was fortunate enough to hit one. It wasn't real good, but I got enough of it to drop it over in the second row of the bleachers.
Well, that one was off Fred Sherman. I'm sure he'll remember that one. But, Frank, think back to the first one. Remember the first one and what it was like?
Well, I remember the first one. It was really a thrill. For a long time, I thought I hit it off another pitcher, but finally someone said, no, you hit it off of Paul Mentor. And I do remember the home run, but I thought it was another pitcher. And I said, oh, yeah, okay, all right. You always remember the first one, and you remember the last one. A lot of people remember all of them in between, basically. But I remember the highlights. I don't remember the 100th and 200th and things like that. But I do remember the 500th, which I think was the important one. And remember the last one. So those are the things I remember.
Frank Robinson, tell me about that last one.
Well, the last one, I thought I'd have time enough to hit a few more. But the last one I hit was off of the White Sox and Terry Forster in a pinch hit role in Cleveland. And it won us a ball game and sent them into a terrible slump. I didn't hit another one, but I did get some key base hits later on because I was a player manager at that time. And I didn't hit very much, but that was the last one I hit, and it was a game winner.
Well, the teammates remember number 500 in Detroit. And it was a great moment for you, a great Hall of Famer. Frank Robinson, thanks for the recollection. Frank Robinson was the leader of the great Oriole teams of the 60s and the 70s. He was National League MVP in 1961, as well as winning the award again and the Triple Crown, leading the Orioles to their first world title in 1966. Frank Robinson hit 586 homers in one of the great careers of all time. This is Marty Lurie. Join me tomorrow for another day in baseball history. Boy, thanks, Raf, for going in the archives and getting that. I love these things. I did one every day back in 90. Glad you like hearing Frank Robinson and his story.
Oh, that was awesome. The voice just reminds me of so many times of him screaming in Candlestick. And, you know, he was a very intense manager, but, you know, everything was the positive with him. He wanted you to pitch and play like he did. He was an aggressive player. He was an aggressive hitter. And just some of the stories he used to just throw at us, you know, you would just listen, because here's a Hall of Famer, and his career was just outstanding with Baltimore. And then coming over to Cleveland, I loved when Kipe was talking to him as a manager as well as, you know, a hitter or a pinch hitter. And he tells a story where Kiper was on deck, and the next thing he did, he said, hey, Kipe, I'm going to pinch hit for you. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, well, I'm the manager. Go sit down. And I mean, those are the things that you remember, because he was like that. And you know, he was a top-line hitter. His numbers showed. And I loved what he says. I don't remember the home runs in between. I remember the first one and the last one. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. I love hearing his voice. And for me, growing up, he was, I don't want to say my hero, my mentor, but whatever. But the way he approached baseball is sort of the way I tried to approach law and, mm-hmm. and life in general. And that is, you're expected to do a good job. And, you know, you don't have to be patted on the back every day, but you know, you're expected to show up and do your job.
And he did, and there was no doubt about it. And of course, he fought the racial issues also, you know.
Very much so.
A young African-American player, and just some of the things that he used to tell us, too. And, you know, you just think back of all the days when Henry Aaron, all these great African-American players had to fight all the adversities off the field and then come on and put a smile on his face and go out and play. And things are the same today, you know, and it's just needs to be changed. And I know you and I talk about that a lot. And even in the game of baseball, it was a tough time for all of them.
Can never go backwards. Cannot go backwards. Have to go forward now.
Yeah.
What? Well, good. I'm very glad I could do that, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. A couple of things I looked up very quickly. Justin Smoke, Bill, against Clevinger. Mm-hmm. 3-for-6 with 2 homers, 4 mm-hmm. RBIs, and 2 walks.
Wow.
His OPS is 2.5. How about that?
That's good. I mean, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Giants have him in there. I mean, that pretty much tells you why the change.
I'd lead him off.
Yeah. But you know, we Marty, we talked about this yesterday in our 4-hour pregame show of where he fits in and how is he going to fit in and how is he going to knock some of these guys out of the lineup, and there's your answer. The analytics show you that he can hit Clevinger, and there's no doubt about it. Let's see if Clevinger's thinking the same way, because you always talk adjustments on both sides.
Well, the big thing for Clevinger is, will people be on base when this guy comes up? And that's going to be a very interesting confrontation, because I'll guarantee you one thing. Clevinger knows it.
Sure, you know? He does. There's no doubt about it. Pitchers don't forget.
No. And a couple of things. I got into ESPN a little bit. With runners in scoring position, 5 for 16. Mm-hmm. Runners on, 8 for 45. Pretty good. Scoring position, 2 out, 0 for 6.
Wow.
And on the splits, the lefty-righty splits, very even, Bill. Lefties, 269. Righties, 255. The OPS, 794 for lefties, 826, a little bit higher for righties. Mm-hmm. On the slugging is a little bit more. But this is going to – this now, boy, what a game this is going to be. Game one with Cueto and Clevinger. Very interesting matchup, isn't it?
Yeah, their probables are saying Cueto's in there, which I think is going to pitch.
Oh, yeah, I'm assuming that.
Too. Yeah, I would think they're not going to put Gausman here. I would rather have Cueto throw the first one, have Gausman throw your second one. But, I mean, you couldn't line it up for a better doubleheader against the Padres with your one and two going. It's going to be real interesting to see if they can get to Clevinger early, because if they can, that's only going to excite that dugout, and they need that. They need a boost from that last game. They just played pathetic. I wasn't real pleased with the energy the team had the other night, and that was, Thursday, coming off a great homestand. I mean, really wailing on the Seattle Mariners for two games, and it just looked like they just couldn't get going. Nobody could. And, you know, you still had some hits, but nothing to what we saw at that homestand. And I know the caliber of pitching is different and the caliber of teams are different, but you want to keep that spark going. And I think that's what you need in this first game. The first game is so important of a doubleheader.
Well, they're hitting the ball well. He's given up 6 homers, 5 solos. He's a tough cookie. Maybe he needed a couple of games under his belt. He didn't seem to me to be overwhelming when I saw that Angel game. But let me ask you this before we take a break, and Kerry's coming up. You must have pitched a lot of games of doubleheader. Second game, or did it matter to you?
Well, most of the time you threw your best pitcher first game, because the second game, a lot of times the teams would throw different lineups out there. Usually the guys on the bench would get the second game. They always go after that first game with their best lineup. Now, of course, in the big leagues with the 7-inning games, you could have, both lineups in there. But most of the time, we talked about earlier, first game's 9 innings, second was 7. And they'd always have the scrubs going into second game. That's what it seemed like, the guys on the bench, not really scrubs. I call them scrubs. But the secondary players would get some at-bats, because that's what they usually did. Now, today we'll see if these lineups change and if there's some distinction on different analytics against both pitchers. It's interesting. But I really believe this first game is so important, especially just the first doubleheader the Giants have played.
They had the Dodger one.
Oh, did they? That's right.
Remember Kershaw, I think.
That's
the
right.
The Dodgers swept.
Yeah, they did. That's when the Dodgers beat them twice.
Yeah.
Two good games, too, if I'm not mistaken. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So
close.
Yeah, it was. It's just a matter of fact kind of thing. We got to get in there. We got to score some early runs, and we got to hold them off in this first game. And then the second game is going to be a battle, because we know with Gausman can go 7 innings with no problem. And it's all about location with him. And I love how he throws a changeup or the split finger to keep that ball down. And I think you really have to do that against the Machados and the Tatises, and then change the eye level with the fastball and bring it up. So it's going to be a fun day, no doubt about it. And baseball's back. We got a doubleheader today, Marty.
Yeah, Sunday doubleheader. It's my wish come true. I hate to have it this way with COVID and all the other stuff that goes with it, but I love Sunday doubleheaders. For me,
I'm glad they didn't have to push these back. That would have just made so long of until Tuesday. And who didn't know over in Seattle even said last night, Scott Servais says, we don't even know what's going on for Tuesday or Wednesday, because they had interviewed him. And he said, we're just waiting on the Giants. And I'm just glad MLB pushed this through. We talked to Ron Wotus yesterday. They had a couple tests, so all those tests were negative, and that's what's great about this. They are really watching this thoroughly, and they should, mm-hmm. and they shut it down at the right time. And now, you know, let's get back, put your spikes on, tighten them up, and let's go.
Yeah, I love those doubleheaders at Candlestick. By the end of the second game, the hot dog wrappers were in left field, and Max Leone was pitching for the Braves, and Mike Sadick was catching for the Giants, and it was fun. It was fun. All right, we'll take a break. Kerry Crowley next with us. This is going to be a very compelling day of baseball. Giants and Padres, two very, very hot teams now, and good pitching matchups as well. Good day coming up, right? More coming up right after this on the Sports Leader.